The easiest way to win playoff tickets is by following TSN 1050 on Instagram. Follow us, like our latest giveaway post, and tag who you want to bring to the game. It's that simple. Check us out at TSN 1050 on Instagram.
Never filtered. Always fun.
Okay, my mic's off because I thought you wanted me to turn my mic off.
No.
I've got a highlighter that apparently isn't good enough for you in my hand, and we're Bruce Boudreauing Andy Brickley.
Hello.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
We are live from either the scene of the crime tonight or the scene of the resurrection.
And your boy has an opportunity to play a starring role tonight.
Who's
explain?
Which boy is it, though?
Tommy Plex.
Oh, Tommy the turtleneck Plekanec.
That's right. No, Tommy the second line center Plekanec. Yeah.
Tommy Plekanec has an opportunity tonight to go up against the Bergeron line and shut them down. Do we want to put a Jerry's percentage on that?
Oh, I don't know. It could be. Here's the thing. Why lay it all at his feet? How about his line mates help him out?
Well, no kidding. I mean, I was very surprised by that when the Leafs had their game day skate earlier and Babcock came out and confirmed it. He said, what you saw is what you're going to see tonight. I was expecting Thomas Plekanec to come out of the lineup. I was thinking he's coming out of the lineup. Instead, he's moving up the lineup. So you can imagine what my reaction was this morning.
I loved our texts, actually. If our texts could go public, they would have a million retweets.
Noodles, there isn't one Leaf fan on earth that can believe that he's moving up the lineup. But you're right. This is not a one-man show.
Right.
He's got to try to bring something to the table, but it goes above and beyond Thomas Plekanec. I mean, that's starting at the wrong line. It's the first line that's got to roll tonight.
Yeah.
It's Austin Matthews. It's William Nylander. Freddie Anderson's got to be a lot better.
Yep.
Morgan Riley's got to be a lot better.
Yeah, the back end. I mean, Zaitsev, like, honestly, they've got to be better from top to bottom. But they've got an opportunity. And regardless of what you think, cliche or not, Ray said it. I think O said it. I believe in it. You're not out of a series until you lose a home game. What I was concerned, and what we all are concerned, is how you did lose on the road. Those weren't what Washington was doing on their home ice.
There were stretches of 10 minutes where the Leafs looked kind of good, but for the most part, the first two games in Boston were utter domination.
There was an ass kicking.
Honestly, like, I'm not trying to sound like a smartass, but it looked like they should have been in two different leagues. Like, it's like the Boston Bruins were above the NHL, and the Leafs are just kind trying to fight to stay. I don't know. They look like they're in two different leagues.
Well, honestly, what we saw was probably what we expected more out of last year, where the Leafs were the second wildcard team going
right
up against the President's Trophy-winning Washington Capitals, shell-shocked rookies, didn't know how to bring it in the playoffs.
But I didn't see that last year.
No, they showed up.
Yeah, they showed up
early in that series.
Well, you're playing with house money, though, too. You know, they went in, they make the playoffs kind of technically that last week. Like you say, you're playing, you're David and Goliath, and there's no expectations. Let's just see how it goes. And they played very well and very consistent night in and out, night out. Gave the Capitals all they could handle, and the Capitals end up winning. This year, have a great season, put up 105 points. Don't really have too many stretches where they're in the crapper. And the expectation level when you're looking at the teams that you could potentially, I mean, how many conversations did we have down the stretch where you're like, yeah, coin flip with Boston. If you make it through the next one, coin flip with Tampa, because that's the way you played. You put yourself in that stratosphere.
Well, and I still think that is a reality. Listen, Boston deserves a lot of credit for showing up.
Right.
Like, you're supposed to have that brought to the table anyway. That's the prerequisite that everyone is supposed to accept.
Right.
That, of course, are you going to show up come playoff time? But they have, and that top line has been spectacular. 20 points in two games for Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak that's Gretzky-like. That's unheard of. And full credit to them, and they performed well, and they've stayed disciplined, and
they've
owned the Maple Leafs. But I think the bigger story is the fact that the Leafs have not shown up yet. Boston is not the greatest team ever put together. This is not the 85
Oilers. They're making them look like that.
Yeah, because of the Maple Leafs. Make no mistake, it's the Maple Leafs that have done this to themselves. I would be much more concerned if they rolled into Boston and played their best game and still got smoked,
dummy, yeah.
They've been awful. They have been awful. And that game was over 10 minutes in on Saturday night. Anything beyond 4-0 is irrelevant.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They admitted to it post-game. They said it's done. When Freddie Anderson came out, it was 3-0. It was 4-0 quickly after that. It was over. The Leafs have not shown who they truly are. You don't rack up 105 points and set franchise records, and then all of a sudden you can't play with anybody.
And it's not like they're going to go out on the ice, Brian, and start bullying around the Boston Bruins and match or even better their physicality. But you would think that they would recognize that their opportunity to do that would be with their speed, their depth, their amount of scorers, and their top nine forward. But they haven't done anything.
Well, they need someone.
They haven't done anything.
They need someone to drag them into a war tonight. And that's not with a big hit necessarily or with a fight. How about the first goal tonight?
Right.
I think that is borderline imperative that they need that. They need to start leading the game as opposed to
chasing
it. I
think there's one guy that can drag everybody into a war, and it's generally the superstar on the team. So guess who that is?
Yeah, it's Matthews.
Yeah.
It
He's
is.
Got to go out there and be the best player on the ice. Or they don't have a shot, and then it's game over. We're done talking about them on Thursday morning.
But here coming into it, we talked about, and I still think it comes back to Nazem Kadri. Like that awful play,
huge
selfish
loss.
Play. It's a massive loss. Take a look at their center ice position down the middle tonight's game.
Yeah, we talked all
you've
year about
You've got a superstar,
this.
And then you've got a guy, Plekanec, who's playing second. Bozak, who has not really been available this first two games.
Well, he hasn't played well. He hasn't had a good year, period.
And you've got Dominic Moore coming in.
We talked all year about the depth at center ice, how much we love their center ice position. One loss of a player of Kadri's caliber, and all of a sudden you're looking at it thinking,
It's not as scary. And then this, and regardless of what you think of Leo Komarov, I'd much rather have him in the lineup farther down the lineup than not playing tonight. And Josh Levo's kicking around on the outside. Janssen, I think he's fine. He's not going to hurt you. Kapanen, that fourth line certainly not going to hurt you. But
that's the least of their problems. I mean,
exactly. It's top heavy. That's
yes,
the top.
It doesn't matter what happens on the fourth line if the first line doesn't pull its weight.
Correct.
It doesn't matter if Pollock gets caught out of position from time to time if Riley, Gardner, Zaitsev, and Hainsey look like they're skating in mud.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Freddie Anderson. I mean, if Freddie Anderson can't make a stop, it doesn't matter.
You're right.
Like, it's very simple. This sport is not that complicated. Your top five or six forwards, your top three or four defensemen, and your starting goaltender. That's how you're going to win. We glorify the grit grinders on the fourth line, the guy who blocks a shot with his teeth, the guy who chips in a big goal from time to time. We love that, and we've glorified it in this country forever. The reality is you win because of your best players.
And
there's all this talk about matchups, and now they're back at home. The truth is, what I'd like to see, and we're never going to know if this is going to happen, I'd love to see Matthews roll into Babcock's office before the game and say, give me Bergeron. I want Bergeron tonight. Give me Chara tonight. I'm going to own these guys.
Yeah.
Because if you're one of the best players in the world, which I believe he is overdue for a big night.
Yep.
He has not played well through two games.
He's the guy that you talked about. They don't have that guy, that Gary Roberts guy. Gary Roberts would drag people into the war, as they say.
Yeah.
Because everyone's looking at him thinking, if he's going out there and playing like that, I have no chance to do anything differently.
Yeah.
But the way this Leaf team is constructed, he's got to be that guy.
Well, and he's capable of doing it, just haven't seen it yet. I thought there were some glimpses of it in the second, but again, at four Cobb, but doesn't matter. You still need him to show up at some point. That's the truth.
Well, it has to be tonight.
And so,
because if you lose tonight and he shows up for game four, it's too little too
late. Well, and here's the thing, and I don't mind this at all. We're getting serenaded here. This is
they're going to be playing music all afternoon.
Keith's got his guitar out in the background.
Trying to do a show here.
They really don't care at all.
Yeah, they don't care. Wait until the anthem singer gets going. But coming back to it, at four Cobb, it's over. So you now you, and we used to say it on the bench all the time, it's small victories, right? You know, have a good shift, try and win that period and stuff. Like, Boston took their foot off the gas. The Leafs had a good second period, outshot them, I think, 16-14, but it's not like they dominated. And in the third, again, they poured it on when they needed to. The game was over. Tonight, it's got to be a consistent 60-minute effort, and it's got to start right from the drop of the
puck. Well, it's got to be a win. Even if they don't show up, then it's all on Freddie Anderson.
Right.
It might have to be.
Steal the game.
Right. He might have to, because with the way you played through two games and being down 2-0, you've lost the ability for a moral victory. You've lost that. You played those cards.
Right.
Like let's say they play great tonight and Rask stands on his head and they lose. You can't come out afterwards and be like, "No, we feel we're back in the series."
No, you're done.
You're not.
You're done.
Yeah.
This is your game seven.
Absolutely. You have to win tonight.
We need. Sorry to interrupt. We need the Kyle Lowry. Like, you got to treat this game like a game seven.
Well,
technically it is. This is 2-1 or 3-0. This is it.
And, you know, from a psychological standpoint, because I am curious to find out the mood in the building tonight, there are a lot of fans who are very skeptical right now, who are not in a good mood. And if they go down early, I feel like it's going to be there's going to be a lot of tension in here.
I think there's tension to start off with.
I think there is, too.
But city.
There is. People are freaking out, and understandably so, because of the way that they've played. But if they find a way to win tonight, everyone will be off their back. People immediately will start to reason with themselves. If it's a split in Boston, someone's got to lose game three.
Right.
You know, that it's one game. Like, it's
right.
one game. And listen, if they lose tonight, then
it's done.
It's over. But I'm a little bit surprised by how many people think not only are they going to lose tonight, they're going to get smoked tonight. Like, there are a lot of people in the city
who
feel like it's over, and I'm a little bit surprised.
I don't feel like that, though. Honestly, driving down today, I don't feel like that's the case. I know it didn't go well in Boston, but like we said, it wasn't like Freddie stood on his head. It wasn't like, you know, Austin got two, and it was Boston implemented a game plan, and the Leafs didn't play well enough.
And the Leafs
That's
allowed
it.
Them to
exactly.
execute it perfectly.
So my point is now you've got a Leafs team in their own building with their crowd behind them. I think you're going to see not only a different effort, a different outcome.
All right, we've got James Duthie in the house.
Wow.
What's happening?
How are you, buddy?
How are you? Can we get some volume down there? The Grappler's on it.
One, two, check. Check. There we go.
Yeah, we got you. How you feeling tonight and just in general?
Game threes like that are funny when one team has won the first two, aren't they? Because if Toronto wins, then you feel like the series is just starting. And if they lose, you feel like it's over.
No, it's really over. Like 3-0 against
it's
a
over.
Team that's dummying you, it's game over.
Yeah.
Like, you want to talk about mailing it in game four.
But 2-1, I'm telling you, 2-1, we got something on our hands.
Absolutely.
Here.
I think personnel-wise, they're in big trouble, but I always feel like that first home game of the playoffs that there's going to be a really good response, and at least, if nothing else, it's going to be a really, really tight hockey game.
You're on Twitter. You're on Instagram. Are you picking up on a vibe from the fans and what you would expect in here tonight? It's going to be a packed house.
Well, what do they have to go on to be positive? What do you tell me? I'm trying to find three shifts in this series where I could say to people, they got to keep doing this, but there's not three shifts available.
I actually think the weather doesn't
help either.
People
the depression in this city right now because of this apocalyptic ice storm combined with their team sucking for two straight nights all adds into that.
Like, there's no Maple Leaf Square. There's no.
There is some Lieutenant Dan's kicking around. They got attitudes.
Oh, dude.
We need to roll in tonight on our SportsCenter bits. The you can't turn me right down and I can't hear. Us last year in Maple Leaf Square, it was about 20 degrees and sunny and people going crazy. And
now this year, everyone's moping around. It's gross outside. The team's getting crushed.
Here's the thing. If they were coming home 2-0, doesn't matter the weather outside. People be dancing in the street.
I think it'll be nuts in here. Look at Winnipeg and Minnesota last night, and I think they fed off of that. And all you need is what Minnesota did is get a couple of power plays, and off they went. And that's what Toronto needs to get tonight.
That wouldn't hurt. A couple power plays, get the skill guys going.
Well, the thing about the Boston power play, not just how effective it's been, but the fact they've scored on their first two in both games, have they not? And so that's because of the power play, they've taken control of the game, and it's essentially been over.
Some of the Leaf fans are fascinated. They're like, the Leafs are having a lot of hits. Do you know what it means when a team has a lot of hits?
You don't have the puck.
That's right.
You're
chasing it and trying to hit and get it back.
The psychological situation here between these two teams is very even keeled. I mean, you look at how this top line, the Bergeron line, the effect it's having on the psyche of the Maple Leaf players, and specifically defensemen. It was on display twice on Saturday night when Ron Hainsey and Gardner choked the puck through the middle of the middle of the ice and turned the puck over, and before you knew it, it was in the back of their net.
I'm doing that play on SportsCenter, and this is after the, you're talking about the pizza?
Yeah.
After the pizza, they were in good shape. It was three Boston Bruins against four Toronto Maple Leafs, and that went from a 3-on-4 to a 2-on-1 for Boston in a split second because of a decision one of the players
and
made.
And I think it's that line. I really do. I think if the Krejci line's on, I don't believe Hainsey and Gardner make the
same
play.
Well, that
was
a mismatch of lines because it was Krejci, Marchand, and Pasternak. So Bergeron must have not
Krejci
made a change.
Had just come on. That's what it was.
Still,
it was
the big boys are on the ice. The point I'm making is those three with 20 points in two games, they have taken over the series. I get the impression like the Leafs players and the defensemen are terrified of them.
I just don't think you look at the lineup now and you can't put together a combination of forwards and a defense pairing that you feel like as a Leaf fan is going to work when you look at that lineup. That, from what you've
seen.
Do you
mean like work out or work on the ice?
It's going to work. No, it's going to work against that unit that you look and you go, okay, put these two guys and these three guys out.
Nobody's playing good.
Right.
Yeah, but Matthews has that ability to do it. Mm-hmm. I think it's on him. I said before you came in here.
He's not good. That's what they won't play against that line much tonight, probably,
well,
right?
But I think they should. I think they, like, that's what Cassidy did in Boston. He said, I'm putting my best line against your best line, and we're going to beat you. And I think it's time Babcock says, you know what, forget it. Let's grow a pair here and go at them and go out there and prove you're better than them.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it will either because of the way Babcock coaches. I think he'll continue to try to match lines. And listen, if you can free him up from time to time, but at some point he's going to be on the ice with them.
But his number one goal is going to be to get them away from them tonight. That's the way he's going to play it, almost guaranteed, correct?
I would guess, based on his history,
That's what he'll do.
But then you've got Plekanec on the ice against those guys or what have you, and all of a sudden you've really got a mismatch.
Well, and ultimately, even if you get, like, let's just say you get caught on the ice in what you deem as a mismatch, how about the guys do the job? Like, that's what you are relied on to do. Like, you get it. Like, I get it. If this was two young guys coming up from the minors that are green and terrified, and, like, Plekanec has a long history. Like, he's an NHL vet that has played in pretty much every situation. I expect more from him. Dominic Moore coming in. Like, this guy has been in deep in the playoffs. This guy has been in every situation.
How about Patrick Marleau at $6.5 million a year?
But that's the thing. You expect, if you get more from the guys who are in the lineup, it's just, like I was saying, the Bruins are a team that they're deep, they're young, they're fast, they're coached well, kind of a lot like the Maple Leafs. The Bruins are executing, the Leafs aren't. The goaltender is making saves at one end. The guy isn't at the other end. And the D, and this has been the Achilles heel all year long, and everyone looks at a copycat league and look at what the Pittsburgh Penguins did last year. Well, guess what Pittsburgh did really well, too, is they backed it up by scoring and having support from the forwards. And those D weren't under duress because they were in and out of their zone very quick.
I'll tell you what, if it's a copycat league, Jamie, they're going to go into this offseason saying we're not even close to being tough enough or strong enough on the puck, and we have to address that if it is a copycat league because they're getting pushed around out there, and there's no pushback at all.
You're right. So I was going to bring this back to Babcock's comments on a guy like William Nylander. Okay, so got all the skill in the world, but are you going to win a 50-50 battle? Yeah, it's not running a guy through the
puck. Man up and play better and play like a man.
It's not running a guy through the boards. It's just winning a battle or being hard on the puck in certain areas. And I'm not singling him out, but that, to me, is how you win playoff battles. I've been watching every game. Vegas is skating circles around L.A., and it's not even just skating. It's their will. They are just all over. Boston, those first two games, there were times where the Leafs looked hemmed in their zone and lost. And how many times was a guy standing alone in front of Anderson? Like where somebody it's a missed coverage.
Well, look at Pasternak, man. Like they have not touched him in two games.
Exactly.
He's got 9 points. He had 6 points. He was embarrassing them with the Hulk Hogan ear grab. Nothing. Not one response.
Right.
And then when someone finally does respond, it's Hainsey who drops the gloves, and I appreciated that. They can't get him a big kill.
Yeah.
Boston scores on it. Yeah. Like I think they were so deflated. They're treating these guys as if they're gods, and they're a great line. Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand might be the best line in the league, but it's not like it's Crosby, Malkin, and Kopitar. You know, like they're really good players, but you can play with them. You have to.
Yeah. Well, they I mean, tonight you got an opportunity to crawl back into the series. And even if you win tonight, it's no guarantee that you win in game four.
Okay, but take it one at
a time. And the perception of everything changes.
For sure.
The way you feel about yourselves. The thing that would concern me about Plekanec, and I think this happens a lot in hockey, is guys ride reputations well beyond their ability to play reputation.
This guy said before the playoffs started, they went out and got Plekanec for this series right here because of all his history against Boston.
But there's been nothing, I can't remember one game during his time in Toronto. And if you talk to people in Montreal, if you watch the Habs a lot this year, there was not one game in Montreal all season long where he was the Thomas Plekanec that
James,
we're talking
I
about.
I haven't said one time that's why they got him. Not once.
Well,
he is just a body skating out there with number 19 on his jersey.
Don't you think what's become evident here is there was one guy who was really pushing for him,
mm-hmm.
and he's behind the bench.
Right.
That seems pretty obvious. Babcock was really an advocate of going out and
getting
him.
No kidding, because Dominic Moore, if he went out there and played like that, he'd be out of the lineup immediately.
Well, look at Thomas Tatar. They gave a first, second, and third for him. He was a healthy scratch last night. Vegas is in it to win it.
They don't need him.
They don't want him.
Exactly. They didn't
You're
need
not playing
him
well enough,
night.
You're not playing.
But so this is, you know, all the other stuff with Plekanec doesn't matter until tonight. If he does something tonight that proves Babcock's faith in him, then we change perspective. But if not, I think this happens all the time. We talk about it on Trade Center. Guys get traded because of people's memories of them from 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
When they're not, if you've watched them, if you really watched them, they're not that guy. And maybe Babcock had nights against Plekanec 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, where he said, that guy's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But that's not the guy now. I hope he proves everybody wrong tonight, and he is that guy. But there's not been one single iota of evidence to say he can still be what he was.
They're putting a lot of pressure and a lot of faith in the idea that he can find his game,
well,
that he can return to the 2010 Thomas Plekanec.
Here's the thing, and I'll agree with Brian and come back to it. If we're talking about Thomas Plekanec tomorrow, then we're not talking about the right people that really showed up. And that's Anderson, Riley, Hainsey, Zaitsev, and then up front, Matthews, Marner, Nylander. You know, the guys who are the spine of your team.
Right, but if that Bruins top line gets somewhat shut down, they score even one goal or less, then we're probably giving Thomas Plekanec some credit tomorrow.
That's an interesting question. Like, if you could sign off on...
Two?
On them getting two goals tonight, would you take it right
now? Yes.
You would
I'll take a two spot.
which is a ludicrous proposition because a line scoring two goals in a playoff game is pretty darn good.
I'd roll the dice.
I think you have to.
Yeah, I'd roll the dice.
I put it at one.
I'm just thinking of the damage they've done in previous games.
I think this is going to be a tighter game than people think. This, we've seen high scoring.
This Leafs team's too good. They're too good to not show up on home ice. They're too good.
I think we could see an overtime tonight or something like a 3-2-4-3 game.
Remember that comment, James. They're too good not to have a performance tonight because we'll discuss it tomorrow.
JD, good seeing you, buddy.
Good to see you guys.
We'll catch you on the panel live from the ACC.
Hang on a sec. We got to go through the panel one more time here. If you could show one pump-up video from a movie, one scene from a movie about not quitting and getting the job done, what would you show the Leafs tonight? Hazy B?
You know my answer.
What?
Rudy?
Rudy.
No.
Thomas Plekanec is Rudy, and he gets thrown out there on the last shift, and he picks up a big sack.
There's only one to show. It's when Rocky Balboa sits beside his wife's bed in the hospital, and she goes,
"Win.
Win."
No. Win. No, 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 no.
What about Bill Murray and Meatballs?
It's Rocky III when it's the beating Apollo down the beach in the short shorts the ocean.
Yeah.
Catch the chicken, Rock.
That is pretty good.
That's after Mickey had cashed his chips.
What, the chicken?
Yeah, because Clubber Lang had, like, killed
Mickey. Mick told him to chase the chicken when he first started
was
training.
Was younger.
Get the chicken, Rock.
All right, James. Good seeing you, man.
See you, boys.
Here's James Duffy. We're going to get into the Raptors. They actually won game one on Saturday night.
There you go.
We're trying to track what's going on with the Blue Jays tonight. The Rogers Center, there's a hole in the roof.
Malls, get the clip from Rocky for me, Malls.
All right. Grab that. Grab the Rudy one, too. We need some Rudy.
And the Bill Murray.
Yes, and Bill Murray. Go
from
ahead.
From Meatballs.
Overdrive continues. We're live at the ACC. It's a game night tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. I just witnessed a transaction for the ages up in the media box. the O-Dog working some magic behind the scenes. You and Noodles, what are you sharing over there, by the way?
Well, I don't know if it's sharing. I bought some, what are these called? Yogurt-covered raisins.
They're one of my favorite snacks, and I'm
and
very
this,
hungry.
This guy is eating all of them. So I've had about four, and you, when Dottie was here,
Hazy,
one got caught
want?
In your throat. You were, like, eating them like you were going
you
to the
You want
chair.
Me to go to Longo's to get a chicken parm sandy, or do you want alumni box pasta?
Oh, it has to be alumni. It has to be, especially on a night like tonight. They're going to bring out the food that will be at the alumni box tonight will marvel the royal wedding. The royal wedding will not be able to match what is going to be happening
so?
Down. Dude, you don't even understand the kind of food they have down there. Like, we joke around, but it's actually outstanding every time we're in. We made a quick pit stop a couple of weeks ago, saying hi to the boys. And
yeah, I would kind of felt ignorant that one. Like, we weren't even in the box. We just went by there for food.
Did
it's
it
a bit
drive
dirty.
By? Well, it is a little yeah. greasy.
It was a bit greasy. Anyway, we're live at the ACC. Pre-game at 6:30. Puck drop just after 7. We're teeing up the game throughout the night. There's a bunch of other storylines throughout the NHL. We're tracking what's going on down at the Rogers Center as well. There's a hole in the roof. So they may actually have to postpone or cancel a game at the Rogers Center for the first time in 17 years.
Well, a piece of ice fell off the CN Tower, I think.
That's
scary
another
stuff.
Thing.
They're, it's very scary.
They're worried about outside the Rogers Center, but now they're worried about inside the Rogers Center as well. You can't have people walking around if ice is falling off the CN Tower.
No, it's not good.
No, it's really not.
I don't even like walking downtown right now because that crap happens all the time. The sheet of ice flies off a building.
It's gross, dude.
Yeah,
I didn't leave
hurt.
My house all weekend. Like, it completely ruined my weekend. I know I'm not alone in that. Anyway, the Raptors kind of saved the weekend with the way the Leafs played. The Jays were rained out a couple of times in Cleveland, but they finally got that elusive Game 1 win in the first round. We'll talk about it in 2 minutes. Game 3 tonight. We are live from the ACC. We're here until 6:30. And then the pregame show kicks off, puck drop, just after 7 p.m. There's a bit of a buzz in the city, but it's kind of a dark mood, let's be honest. The weather is not helping. We don't know if the Jays are even playing tonight. The Maple Leafs are down 2-0 to the Bruins, and quite frankly, they've been embarrassed through two games. There's nothing positive you can really take from either game. But if you're a Toronto sports fan, the one beacon of hope at this point is the Raptors, and they exorcised some demons on Saturday night, as we knew going into that game. 0-9 lifetime in game one of the first round. They finally get that elusive win. And to chat about it, we're joined now by a guy who's in the building. I believe he's still in Toronto from ESPN the magazine and ESPN.com. Here's Kevin Arnovitz. Are you enjoying the weather up here, Kevin?
I'm trapped in a hotel. Help. Send support.
It's awful.
I had all these wonderful images of running on Sunday morning and on the Toronto Islands and exploring the neighborhoods I've been always wanting to get to, but instead I have been marooned, shuttling only to the Toronto Raptors training facility, which seems like a pretty happy place right now.
Well, I think it should be, right? I mean, you know the history. 0-9 lifetime in game one of the first round. It's only one game, but how significant do you think that was, them getting the monkey off their backs the way that they did on Saturday night?
I mean, yeah, I think they were tired of the narrative, and I don't blame them at all. I mean, I think every team is sort of its own organism, and I think there's a collective recognition that this team is just different. It's constructed differently. It plays differently. I think it's temperamentally different. And I think they were, you know, to dwell on the game one stuff, which is pretty much all we heard leading up to the playoffs, it was nice to get an affirmation that actually this is different. And so can we just put that in the rearview mirror and just move on and, you know, get into the task at hand?
I thought it was the tale of two halves, really, on Saturday, where John Wall, he absolutely steamrolled them in the first half, and they made adjustments. And Kyle Lowry really stepped up in the second half, and they really neutralized John Wall in doing so. That's the matchup that I think most people have had circled coming into the series after game one. How does that affect your projection going forward, Lowry versus Wall?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, I think, credit the rookie, OJ Anunoby, because
right.
You know, he started the second half on John, and it was very effective, and I think they're going to throw a lot of looks at Wall. And because you just, given the speed, you know, given the dynamism, he sort of ignites the offense. I think the best way to play him is sort of, you know, guerrilla warfare, and just you throw different coverages, you throw different guys. You know, you play the back line differently a little bit. I mean, you can just kind of, you know, several pitches in your arsenal so that you don't know what's coming. And by the way, certain nights, certain things will be effective and certain things won't. But, you know, the second half is great. I mean, look, I thought they played a really good first quarter, too. And in some ways, the first quarter was really instructive offensively because, you know, there's a tried and true game plan against the Raptors. And everyone in the league talks about it, which is you just, you know, you have to make the ball find the bigs. Because if it's in DeRozan and Lowry's hands, you know, you could potentially be in trouble. And that's exactly what Washington did, so credit them for executing game plan. And then fortunately, because this, you know, this roster is really overachieved, the Raptors punished them for it. I mean, I think what you want to see as a playoff team is, can the other team execute its game plan and still get screwed, right? Like, can we punish them for doing what they want to do? It's one thing to take something away. It's another thing to be able to look at the Wizards and say, oh, you're going to take away Lowry and DeRozan? Fine. These guys are going to hit shots. We'll run our second-sided action. And if you get that, we're going to reverse the ball to Anunoby in the right corner, and he's going to hit a three. And I think that is sort of, you know, I think there were a lot of good signs in the first quarter of game one. Again, they had that 13-0 lull, which was pretty much, I mean, I still think they generally dominated the game. It was not a perfect performance. It was close late. But I think they accomplished a lot of what they wanted to accomplish tactically. And then there will be a chess game from here on out. But I think it was a good first move on the board for Toronto.
With Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine, Dwayne Casey said today they're going to make some defensive adjustments going into game two tomorrow night. They want to cut back on the turnovers, which I think, to your point, the Raptors, they have more to give here. They did play well in game one. I think they can even improve on that. I think the bigger question for Raptors fans and even objective NBA fans just tuning into the series is who is this Washington team? Because down the stretch, they were terrible. We all know the history, recent history, between John Wall and the rest of his team, specifically when he was out of the lineup for an extended period of time. Do you have faith that Washington is going to punch back here, or do you think there could be some serious internal problems and this could turn into a walk for the Raps?
You know, my instincts tell me, and just a sense of being around them, they feel a little dispirited. You know, I've been around the Clippers in previous playoff years, and they're just the teams can seem morose. And you know, I think there were little kind of beeps on the radar that suggest that. That said, they have two really dynamic guards like Toronto does. You know, Otto Porter is a somewhat unflappable player who didn't particularly play well and will play well at some point. So, you know, I thought they had a couple of moments of their own. You know, they went small with Mike Scott, and it really threw Toronto for a loop a little bit. And I think that some of the defensive adjustments that Dwayne Casey's talking about, sort of on their pick and roll coverage, you know, will be needed. So, Wall hurt them in the pick and roll. And I was looking at the stats today. I mean, they got good production out of those possessions. They're going to have to get tighter. You know, they play a pretty traditional defense, Toronto does, and you know, they might have to go against certain prescriptions that they sort of put forward every night. And I think it's going to be an interesting thing. I mean, I think there's a chance. Again, there's something, even coming down the stretch, the end of the season, there's something a little off about this team in terms of its comportment, level of happiness. Are they playing with any joy? Now that that's the ultimate measure of success. Because there's very little joyful about playoff basketball. It's more of a kind of a slog. But I think there's a chance you are correct, and I think we'll have a really good indication in game three. To me, that's always it. Team comes home. How do they respond?
Did John Wall buy his whole team Rolex watches for Christmas? Is that what I think I saw that on Instagram? The whole team.
I believe so. And as a percentage of income, I guess it's not that bad.
No, yeah. No kidding.
Like, that's a drop in the bucket for a guy. Like Rolex is for everyone. You could buy it for
kind of think a Rolex would kind of keep everybody off your back, wouldn't it?
You would think so, but ball is life, man. You got to move that ball around, too. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like Oprah. I mean, you can, a Rolex for you and a Rolex for you.
And not everyone loves Oprah. Well, try to enjoy yourself up here, Kevin, and enjoy the game tomorrow night. Thank you for doing this.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
There's Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. Don't forget, game two tomorrow night. Raptors, Wizards, you can hear right here on TSN 1050.
Hello.
He almost gave you a Brucey.
Yeah, there was some Boudreaux to that last answer. I was giving him the floor. Like, yeah, you guys are making your Rolex comments, and I'm like, go ahead, Kev. Hit it out of the park, man. This one's right down the middle. It's an easy comment.
And he gave you a...
Hello.
Brucey with a big win last night, though. He was happier behind the bench.
Well, the face
Minnesota.
Was not the shade of red that it has been the two nights previous. But Minnie with a big win. And Winnipeg didn't play that well, but Minnesota played very well. So
that's what the Maple Leafs need tonight, man. The Maple Leafs need to come out. They need to play with willpower. They need to push. They need to dictate the pace of the game. And it wouldn't hurt if the Bruins kind of mailed one in.
Yeah.
That wouldn't hurt either.
You know what? They're all business, man. I was down here at Morning Skate, and they're all business.
They should feel like they can win a Stanley Cup, Boston. Yes, and coming into this, the Maple Leafs should have had that belief as well. But after two games, their psyche's been rocked, and we'll see what they have going for them tonight. Ray Ferraro's coming up. Ray was at the scene of the crime for the Kings last night. 3-0 Vegas Golden Knights.
I can't believe I bet against Vegas. I can't believe I did that. I believe you did, too.
Of course.
I have to openly admit it. But the first two games, Vegas absolutely dummied L.A. Last night, L.A. Flower was outstanding. That's where, like I say, a goalie can steal that night because I thought L.A. deserved to win last night.
Well, and that's the flip side of what we're talking about here tonight. Let's say the Leafs could play great. If Tuukka Rask has himself an evening, then you might be dealing with a very different mood around the city come tonight. Ray's coming up. Bob McKenzie will be around the table as well later this afternoon. We're live with the ACC. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. All right, Ray's coming up in about 10 minutes live from L.A. The Vegas Golden Knights up 3-0 on the Kings, and tonight the Maple Leafs are trying to avoid that themselves. It's 2-0 Bruins. The puck drops at 7 p.m. tonight right here on TSN Radio, and this is must-win territory for the Maple Leafs, and I would say must-win on Thursday night as well. I think they got to hold home ice here and win Game 3 and win Game 4, and we'll keep teeing this up throughout the afternoon, but there have been a lot of people wondering why we have not mentioned Bartolo Colon yet.
Well, this guy apparently was...
Perfect through seven.
Yeah,
perfect.
I know.
Perfect through seven. Perfect.
I didn't see how it got broken up.
How did it get broken up?
Well, he walked Correa to start the eighth, and then it was all downhill.
He ran out of gas.
He ran out of gas.
Did he even get the win?
He didn't get the decision. Texas won in extra innings. Thing is, Verlander was mowing him down, too.
Yeah.
Like, he was feeling it. It was a pitcher's duel last night.
Well, somebody sent me a note saying that one of his pitches was 92 miles an hour. Like, that's heat. He's 45.
45. That sent shockwaves. Like, the fact that he got it up to 92.
For Bartolo.
Yeah, man. Bartolo Colon. He's still... Like, because remember, they cut him in camp, but then they brought him back on, like, a different contract and... The guy's money. Like, there's no dancing around it. The guy's had an unbelievable career. I think just based on how unique his story is, he should be in the Hall of Fame. The guy took roids, and look at him. If you have that body type.
I think he was in Oakland, and he got busted with roids.
Yeah, he did. He won a Cy Young in Oakland and then got busted for roids.
And then he got busted by his other family and his other family.
I think he's got three families on the go.
We want to talk about a guy that should there be a movie made about him. Like, there's a guy. There's a guy.
Someone sent a poll out last night.
Three families, 45 years old, 286 pounds, pitching in the big leagues.
Well, that was his Kevin Costner moment last night. Yeah. At 45, perfect through seven.
For the love of the game?
The love of the game. There he is.
Started dreaming of lasagna and pizza.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't clear the mechanism like Kevin Costner.
Exactly.
Well,
shut
almost. Seven alone is impressive. So shout out to our boy Bartolo Colon.
He is a grit grinder.
Absolutely. It is a Maple Leaf game night tonight. We're all aware of it. We're all miserable because of what's going on in the city. The ice storm, the apocalypse rolled through here. And it was ugly on Saturday night. There's nothing you can take out of the first two games. We're going to turn the page. We're going to keep teeing up the game tonight. We're going to tell you what we believe has to happen for the Maple Leafs to walk out of here with a win. And if they do, it's 2-1. Changes the whole complexion of the series, and I would think the attitude of the fan base. Rays coming up. We're teeing up the game tonight. Puck drop at 7. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050.